are now listening to the Fantasy Standard Podcast on Talkdown TV with P and Ryan.
Welcome to the Fantasy Standard Podcast. This is P alongside Ryan. And if you're watching, it means you're on YouTube. And we kindly ask that you drop a like, hit the subscribe button, and even click on the bell to get the notifications. If you're listening, it means you're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audio Boom, and all other podcast platforms. We also kindly ask that you hit that subscribe button and leave a review.
Yeah, you almost had it.
Yeah, almost made it, man.
What's good, man?
Nothing much. I just got the waivers. You know, we just got through waiver wires.
Week two is a day away.
It looks like for our picks, actually, we went 10 and 6 each.
Yeah. So we had a couple of different picks, but lo and behold, we ended up with the same record, 10 and 6. Not a bad way to start the season. Mm-mm. As long as you stay above 500, I think you're doing pretty successful. And four games above 500 isn't a bad start. So
I think that there's something that I did want to talk about on this episode before we started talking about the matchups. And I don't want to spend too much time on it. I felt like this week and maybe these next few weeks is probably going to be more of like a preseason. So I think that whenever you're making moves out there, I know a lot of managers are making a lot of moves. I think that I have to be the voice of reason to say, I think there's a little bit of a buyer's beware when you're making the moves. Don't you agree?
Yeah. Just be a little bit more patient. I mean, if you saw enough that you feel like the move is justified, then do it. I'm not telling people not to make moves if you feel like, all right, I saw enough, that's all I need to see. But it has been only 1 week. Some of these guys who went off, we got to just make sure it's consistent. This is why it's the NFL. You got to be able to do this every single week to get paid. And we got to see what happens going forward. If it becomes a pattern, then it's something to really like go from there. But anybody can do something once.
Mm. So it does pay a little bit to be even more patient this year than before.
Oh, yeah. Because, again, all the rookies not being able to get preseason games, all these kickers missing field goals, and then even quarterbacks are just taking snaps under center and stuff like that. You didn't do it at all this year, and that's the first time in probably a long time.
Yeah, that's true. Offensive lines and all that stuff. Sometimes new acquisitions need time to gel with their teams, and the only way to do it is with these live reps. So – something to consider. I felt like I wanted to mention that because us, when we get into fantasy, we think that, you know, we draft the team and that's all we really need for a successful fantasy season. And I think that's a little part of it. Making sure you understand nuances like that. And then also the waiver wire, knowing that, you see moves that are made that are a little bit of head scratchers. And I think that especially now, we're just telling you just to be patient on some of the guys that you've drafted and consider some of the players that you're drafting. Like, don't follow and don't overreact. Don't overcorrect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's all the time I wanted to spend on that. I didn't want to spend too much more. Again, I don't want to educate you too much, but I feel like, you know, us GMs, we need to stick together with this stuff. You ready for the matchups?
Yeah.
All right. So Thursday night, we have Cleveland hosting the Bengals. What's the line?
So right now, it's at a total of 43.5, and they got the Browns favored by 6.5.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, I don't know how the Browns are favored by 6.5. I think they're giving the Browns the benefit of the doubt, and they're underestimating the Bengals. I don't know what game they were watching on week one when the Bengals played the Chargers, but this doesn't justify it being 6.5. That's a very high line, and I don't know. The Browns don't ever impress me.
Yeah, I just feel like the last two games they played, they're in a division, so I kind of do like – pulling from their recent history for with their matchups because they know each other a lot. They play each other so much. And last year, because of that, their games, I think that the most a team beat the other team by is 3 points.
Yeah, it's going to be close.
It'll be a close game. I got Cleveland because they're home. I'm going to give the home team the edge, even though there's no fans in the stands. Is Ohio allowing fans?
I'm not 100% sure.
For Thursday night, I wouldn't doubt it, right? Because it's prime time. Maybe they'll do the same thing where they let the families in the stands.
Yeah.
But I like Cleveland on that one more because I feel like and we were looking at the players, the numbers here, and it felt both running backs have success against the other team.
Yeah.
I just don't know about the rookie quarterback yet.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen enough from Joe Burrow in week one to at least get me excited to want to root for him.
Definitely.
He single-handedly almost brought the Bengals back. And if it wasn't for their kicker missing a field goal, that game would have gone into overtime and they're probably 1-0. So, and this line would be completely different. I think they're just assuming these are the same old Bengals. This isn't Andy Dalton's Bengals anymore.
Yeah.
Again, the defense looked better. They played very well, man. I was very impressed. I'm not going to lie. Then that's why I'm going with Cincinnati this week. I had Cincinnati last week and they almost pulled it off, but I just see something in Joe Burrow.
I'm glad
that we get to see him in prime time.
Yeah, absolutely. And we get to see how he reacts to prime time. Yeah. The reason I'm going with Cleveland is I have to see it. And Cleveland's coming off of a terrible loss against Baltimore. So they have to get back on it with another division opponent. And I feel like, at this point, man, Baker, now is the time, right? You have Hooper that they brought in. You have two running backs.
They lost Njoku for the year, so that might hurt.
Has weapons just like Cincinnati. I just felt like, I'm going with this is my last ditch effort to trust Baker Mayfield.
After this, you're not picking him.
After this, I'm done with Cleveland.
Okay, I agree. I'm done already with them. I don't need another game. I've seen enough.
I'm giving Mayfield the Cincinnati's weapons for Christ's sake. I'm ready to leave.
Because you like his commercials. All right, cool. Let's jump into this next game.
Let's get to the next one. The next one is at Atlanta and Dallas, right?
Yep.
All right. So what's the line for that one?
So right now they have it at a 53 over and under. That's a lot of points.
That's crazy.
And they got the Cowboys favored by 4.5, rightfully so, after the Falcons got dismantled by the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
This seems more of a fair line. I probably would have it closer to like 3, 3.5, 2.5 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Dallas being home is getting the benefit for more points, but
apparently, a note, 25% capacity at that for Dallas fans.
Yeah, so that might help.
Yeah. One thing on the injury front, I'm not going to go through all of them, but Leighton Vander Esch, the linebacker from Dallas, that's going to be a big loss for the run game.
Yeah.
For the run defense. So what players or what exactly are you highlighting here for this matchup?
This is going to be a slugfest. This is going to be a lot of points. And I think the team who ends up with the ball last might win this one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking to see Amari Cooper do something this week. He wasn't that productive last week. And playing against the Falcons, who are a sieve to the passing game, I think he could probably go off this week. And I want to see what Calvin Ridley could do. Everybody's hyped up after he had a big game. Let's see if he can come out and show it again. If he does, then I'll take my foot out of my mouth and start showing a little bit more respect.
The 52.5, you buying it over under? What do you?
Oof, man. So what's that? About 28, 24? Man, it's a lot of points. I could see it happening. But does Dallas even want to score that many points to beat the Falcons? Or maybe just Falcons are going to give them that point? I don't know.
Well,
I think it'll go over.
I think it's almost like a changing of the guard with the Dallas philosophy. Remember when Dallas, you knew they were going to come out and be run heavy? I feel like they've morphed into that, three wide receiver, single back for the most part, right? And it feels like it's more of a balance. You feel like they're going to pass it a little bit more. And in this game, I can see this going over.
Yeah.
Only because I feel like Atlanta's defense is so bad. And I didn't see anything from Dallas's secondary that's going to make me feel like they're going to be able to stop Atlanta either.
Yeah. Mike McCarthy struck week one, making dumb decisions. And it cost maybe the Cowboys the game. They should have beat the Rams.
One of your top five coaches?
No. I'm glad he doesn't coach any of my teams. So, but with that being said, I'm going to take the Cowboys.
Yeah, I think
I just don't think the Falcons, unless they put up 40, I don't see them beating the Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm definitely, I definitely am going to take the over also. Not that we're doing it for that, but
yeah.
I do feel like it's going to over. Let's go over to the next one. The next one is LA and Philly, right?
Yep, yep.
So LA
looking like a lot closer of a game. They got 47 and on a total, pretty high for a Philly LA game in my opinion. But I think it's more based on the LA side. They got the Rams favored by 1.5, which I guess it's almost the same game as them playing the Cowboys. I just think that the Eagles are less healthy. It's almost going to be the same type of matchup, in my opinion.
I was actually looking back at this. I was like, man, I wonder what the matchup is like between these two teams, or at least with these two head coaches, right? And they both have gone back to, what, 2018?
Yeah.
I think Peterson longer.
Yeah, Peterson a little bit longer.
Okay. The last six matchups, Philly's beaten the Rams, dating back to when they were St. Louis Rams.
Wow, all last six matchups?
All last six matchups. Mm. So what does that mean, right? I mean, obviously, the last time they played, it could have been like 10 years ago, so that doesn't mean anything, but it's not. I think they played 2 years ago or last year, so it's still relatively the same. Well, 2 years ago, so it's the same Rams offense, essentially, as long as that's in terms of like philosophy. Yeah. That being said, I know that we're talking about the offensive line and how are they going to hold Donald, but I feel like if there's a player that has had to deal with injuries, whether it's his own or the people around him, is Carson Wentz. And what I told you was they can't beat him up any worse than Washington did.
Yeah. The only difference is the Rams have a better offense and they're not going to give up a 17-point lead.
Well, the Eagles are home, so we have to give them a chance. You know, based on what I've seen in recent history, the Rams are the ones that have to beat the Eagles, not the other way around.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
So that's why I'm going to go with Philly on this one. I'm going to go with Philly to get their first win.
Cool. I'm going to look at LA to go 2-0.
All right. Next we have Denver and Pittsburgh, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what's the line for this one?
So as of right now, they have it at 41.5, which is what I expected. It's super low. And they got the Steelers favored by 7.5, which is a big number. But the Steelers defense alone could cover that.
Yeah. Did the Steelers defense not look good on Monday night?
No, I mean, they look good. It's just, I guess the Giants were playing from behind all game, so they were just throwing the kitchen sink at them. Because we had Watt get a pick. They were sacking. And they shut down Saquon in the run game. So,
yeah, they did. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Don't let those points being scored and Slayton catching those two touchdowns fool you.
Right. I just think that Jones has such good chemistry with him that anything goes wrong, he completely disregards the game plan and looks for Slayton.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? Doesn't it? Isn't that? Anyway, about this matchup. What players are you keying in on with this Steelers and Broncos matchup?
Well, we got some injury news. Have they officially listed James Conner out?
Yo, I like how quick you were with this
one. Wait a minute.
I like how quick you were.
I haven't heard for sure. I'm not sure if that's 100%.
No, I think he's going to be a game time decision. This is how I think it's going to play out because I've been there before with having a backup of James Conner's. It's going to go game time decision. He's going to warm up. He's going to play, and he's going to unfortunately get hurt again.
Yeah, because he's kind of hard-headed. He seems like a guy who don't want to miss games.
So you Snell owners.
Do you Snell?
Yeah, do you Snell what the I guess, Rock is cooking here? Because I really like Benny Snell if Connor misses any time.
Yeah, he's a good plug-in flex guy if you got him.
Yeah.
If you drafted him or if you had a chance to pick him up on waivers, he was a priority for sure this week.
Yeah.
And again, we get to see Juju.
Mm-hmm. Juju
and Ben looked really good week one. Yeah. But again, the Giants have a sieve of a secondary.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. Bradbury looked really good. And we'll talk about that in the Giants matchup. But Bradbury impressed me a little bit. But going here, I'm taking the Steelers. I'm not going to get cute. Denver, Drew Lock looked good, but he's still – you're going up again against Big Ben.
Yeah. This team, again, anytime Denver plays a team, to me, the question is going to be, is that Denver – is the Denver team compared to the team they're playing more playoff ready? And Pittsburgh is playoff ready. Yeah. Denver, not quite. Again, and I've mentioned this before, they have pieces. And those pieces showed me even more. I love how Judy even looked. If he cleaned up some of the mental mistakes he made.
Yeah, he got to catch the goddamn ball. He's trying to go before he catches it. He looked good, though.
How good did Noah Fant? And you love
Noah Fant looked good. I'm not going to lie. That TD was a little fluky. But besides that, he was getting targets and he was looking pretty good. So
you love the chemistry.
Yeah, becoming one of Drew Lock's favorite targets.
Yeah, so I'm also taking Pittsburgh, but, you know, Denver is not far away. I don't know if it's this year, but that's a really nice young team. Yeah. So both taking Pittsburgh.
Yep, let's jump into here.
On to the next
matchup. Your favorite matchup of the week.
Yeah, what's the line here?
Extremely low, as is every Buffalo Bills matchup. It's 41, and they got the Bills favored by 6. Which I don't get this. How are the Cleveland Browns favored by more against the Bengals than the Bills against the Dolphins?
Well, division games. Oh, the same thing though. It's the same thing, right?
Both division games, but I'm like, I feel way more confident of Buffalo than I do of Cleveland.
I really don't understand that either. If you listen to recent history, right? Again, division opponents. I'm going to go into recent history. Last 10 games against the Dolphins, the Buffalo Bills are 7-3, and they've won 3 straight against the Dolphins.
Yeah, man, I just don't know what the Dolphins have to offer as a team right now.
Yeah, the Dolphins could not stop the Patriots last week for the life of them. The run defense, maybe. Again, preseason week one, there's a lot of new acquisitions on that Miami Dolphins defense. Is that a reason?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And they played relatively well. 21 points, you don't love it, but it's not terrible either, right?
Yeah.
But so maybe that's why I think I think they're underrating the Bills with that line, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree.
So what players stand out to you?
I want to see what Josh Allen does again. I like the game plan they had in week one. They made really good adjustments against the Jets. Let's see what they can do against the Dolphins. I can see him running the ball more a lot. The Dolphins played the Patriots last week, and Cam was running it all over them. I hope they don't just rely on Josh Allen to run the ball consistently, because that's only going to lead to injuries with any running quarterback eventually.
Right.
So you don't want to see that, because then that'll put a damper on the season if you have to rely on backup quarterbacks. But I just hope they're smarter with him, because he did take a little bit more hits than he wanted to in week one.
Yeah. Yeah, and clean up those mistakes too, right? And he knows it too. The first 5 possessions, he took them into scoring territory, but only came out with 3 scores because 2 fumbles. So you don't like seeing that with Josh Allen, especially in year, 3? So yeah. This is when you can't do stuff like that. The one thing I will say about this matchup, Josh Allen traditionally kills the Dolphins. So nice. I like that you called him out there. I looked at, you know me, I'm going to look at the tape and of all the teams, but I looked at this one first, not because I'm a Bills fan or anything, but Devin Singletary, I like him. I like him for the year. I like the role that they have for him. If you drafted him to be your RB2, then I'm sorry. Right? You don't draft him to be your RB2, especially in the system he's in. But flex, I like him for flex.
Yeah.
I have Buffalo here. No surprise. what about you?
Yeah, I'm taking the Bills, man.
Yeah.
To go 2-0 and potentially get the lead in the division.
Yeah, and make it 3 straight against the four straight against the Dolphins in the last 2 years. That's impressive.
Cool. Jump into this next matchup.
Go to the next matchup, and it is the Chicago Bears against the New York Giants.
Yep.
What do you have in the line?
Well, right now, they don't have a total, or maybe they're just adjusting it, but they have the Giants favored by 5.5, which this is a battle of two teams that I don't know what their plan is.
Yeah.
Mitchell Trubisky looked half decent against a Lions team who had no cornerbacks, and they made a comeback. And then the Giants, I mean, Daniel Jones is a good player in my opinion, man.
Yeah,
I really like him as a quarterback. Allen Robinson had contract disputes this week. So we'll see if they try to pepper him with targets to quiet him, the squeaky wheel effect. Who are you looking at?
Well, I can tell you that Allen Robinson being or asking for a contract extension, I think that could be one of those motivating factors for not only the team to get him the ball to say, look, you know, we believe in you, but it's also maybe for him to just play with a little chip on his shoulder. That's never a bad thing with a player on his level. I'm looking at Jones. Daniel Jones looked like he looked more confident in that offense that they had there. I like the way the Giants. So you want the Giants to run the ball better, right? And Mitchell Trubisky apparently, and I saw it somewhere. I think I saw it on TV on NFL Network. That Mitchell Trubisky, they said, had the best fourth quarter of any quarterback in NFL history.
Last week?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a bold statement.
That is a super bold statement, Cotton, because I would have never said anything like that.
Wow.
But apparently, statistically, or whatever metrics they used to measure success, he was the highest ever.
Impressive. I mean, I saw him make that throw to Anthony Miller. That was a very nice throw for the touchdown. Mm-hmm. Great catch too by Anthony Miller. So, I mean, maybe he is making strides to be better. Who knows, man?
Yeah. You know, for whatever it's worth, the last time the Bears played the Giants, A-Rob, six catches, 151 yards and a touchdown. That's why we mentioned A-Rob. Montgomery, if he plays, are you going to get the same 13 for 22 or is he going to get do something better? And then Tate, are you going to play? Golden Tate.
Yeah.
So I have in this one, I picked the
Bears.
I picked the Bears. We both picked the Bears.
Yeah, I got the Bears as well, man. Yeah. I just feel like the defense is a little bit more complete, and the Giants are still trying to find their identity in a sense. They got Saquon, but once you eliminate Saquon, then you eliminate them. So,
yeah. And Khalil Mack, I think he'll make some noise in this game.
Yep.
Okay, so on to the next game.
Yes, sir.
Let's go over to the Indianapolis Colts against the Minnesota Vikings. What's the line?
So right now it's at – oh, and then from the last game, we do have an over-under. It's 42 for the Giants and Bears.
Okay. Yeah, I see it here now. It's an open line, so obviously
– Minnesota and Indy? Yeah, it's still – yeah. So here it's at 48.5, which is a lot of points.
Wow.
And then they got the Vikings favored by 3. So, I mean, this is – I feel like the Vikings are turning into the Atlanta Falcons. they're trying to run the ball and control clock, but they're getting beat up so much that they can't just keep running the ball, and they're forced to throw a lot more. That goes to show you why Thielen had an amazing game last week.
They lost a lot of players on that Vikings defense.
Yeah, man. I'm telling you.
Rhodes is gone, although I think Rhodes is maybe not the player he used to be.
He was on the down decline anyway.
They still have those linebackers, those talented linebackers. I mean, they're some of the best in the game. They still have Harrison Smith, right?
But linebackers can't cover receivers.
Right, I know. But, you know, those guys, traditionally, they need those corners, right? I think that's been the biggest weak thing. And then Danielle Hunter, is he playing?
Let me see. Hold on.
Because
it doesn't say anything on the injury report. But
to me, their defense starts and ends on their line.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Again, preseason week one. Normally, that head coach, man, he doesn't play around. He has good defenses. So I'm not gonna rule that they can make some adjustments and get this cleaned up.
Yeah. I mean, Vikings need a bounce back here.
Yeah.
The Colts, I thought were going to come out a lot stronger, and then they allowed the Jacksonville Jaguars to come back with Phillip Rivers having an amazing game. I thought they had that game sealed, and Gardner Minshew came back, and Kirk Cousins is way better than Gardner Minshew, and they definitely have about the same or better weapons than the Jags. So
Cousins is Rivers had an okay game because, you know, there's some 40, you don't want Rivers thrown in 46 times when you have the offensive line that they have. because you should be able to run it on anyone, right? The running back touches scare you a little bit. The distribution, it's 7-4-9. Obviously, Marlon Mack is injured. So, Jonathan Taylor, you're going to step up and get some touches. But how many touches are you going to get? Is Wilkins going to come in and be active and get some touches? Is it going to be, again, 7-4-9? Are you happy about getting 9 touches from Jonathan Taylor?
No.
I mean, he did have a pretty good game last week, but would you sign up for 9 touches?
No, I wouldn't sign up for 9 touches from nobody, unless you're a wide receiver.
Yeah, so and Hines is not going to go anywhere. I don't care how many times I have to repeat it. He's going to be involved. Phillip Rivers likes that guy.
Yeah, I think he can trust him more. He's almost like his Eckler 2.0. I've been saying that. And I just feel like it's hard for Rivers to trust the rookie to be blocking him and having his life on the line.
Yeah. And he still has those fumbling issues that he still has to prove that he's gotten over. For Cousins, his sweet spot, he hit it last week pretty much for attempts, 25 to 30. He had 25 passing attempts. One player I wanted to highlight for Minnesota is Alexander Mattison. You think that when you pick up a Mattison is because he's a handcuff. You don't expect him to get 10 touches for 80 yards.
Yeah, he had a way more dominant role. I mean, they were down a lot against Green Bay, so maybe they were trying to preserve Dalvin. But I mean, Dalvin still had 2 touchdowns.
Yeah. 2 walk-ins. The only reason I mentioned it is for you fantasy managers, 10 touches for 80 yards in your flex, that's not terrible.
Yeah, no, he's almost becoming viable as a flex, like you're saying.
Keep your eye on him.
Yep.
Anything else?
Who you got? What's that?
Anything else?
Nah, I mean, I'm looking for the Vikings to bounce back here. I feel like for me that this is the same story for Phillip Rivers. I don't care how many covers you put on this book, it reads the same way.
It's the same exact words.
So let's go. I'm going to go with the Vikings here to bounce back in Indy. Man, Indy starting 0-2 is going to be tough. It's a coin flip here, but I'm going to go lean with the Vikings.
I take Indy, and the reason I took Indy is because I want Phillip Rivers to get his first win. I think that's mostly why I'm picking it. the Colts are home. I see the Colts being able to run the ball, and that offensive line is ready. Regardless of who's behind, it doesn't really matter who's back there in the backfield for the Colts. I do want Phillip Rivers not to throw it 46 times. That's not a recipe for success for Indy. But I'm just going to take Indy. I feel like they're going to get their first win, and I'm probably picking against Minnesota because they hurt me last week. So I don't know if I'm ready to go there yet. you ready for the next game?
Yeah.
All right. So the next one we have is Detroit and Green Bay.
Yep. So right now they got the over under at 49.5, and they got, which is a lot of points. 49.5 is a lot. And they got the Packers favored by 6.
Wow. Division opponents, the NFC North, and the last 10 matchups between these two teams, they're 5-5. Detroit is 4-2 in the last 6, and Green Bay has won the last 2 matchups. What players are you looking at here?
I want to see what Davante Adams could do again, man. Again, same story. Like with Calvin Ridley, he had a great week last week. Let's see how many targets he ends up with this week. Are they going to go? Again, playing the Vikings last week, the focal point was they got a good run defense. So maybe their game plan was, hey, we're going to pass the ball a lot more. Mm-hmm. Are they going to go back to what was working for them last year and feed Aaron Jones more? Or is Aaron Rodgers going to come out and pass the ball like he did in week 1?
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking to see.
We were talking to a commissioner from our own league, and he he's a big Aaron Rodgers fan, and he mentioned – And we both thought at the same time, like, yeah, that's true. He's on his revenge tour. Oh, you mentioned that. Mm-hmm. You said, he's on his revenge tour. You just hope that he takes
Aaron Jones
with him. For this game, I'm going to highlight Matthew Stafford because, you know, A-Rod and Matthew Stafford have had these battles for a while, it feels. And it feels like they're always good games.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You're probably not going to have Kenny Golladay, your number one guy. You hope he gets him back. You hope, and I know Ryan, you too. You hope. you hope he gets Kenny Golladay back, and you hope that AP looks the same. AP looked really good.
Yeah, but again, Detroit had played with the lead for majority of that game, so that's why AP was getting fed. So let's see if he's on the field when they're not winning.
Yeah.
Swift looked pretty good too, man.
Yeah, yeah. The last time they played, they had Detroit had the legendary David Blow or Blue. As a quarterback, and the final score was 23-20.
Green Bay?
Yes. Green Bay has won the last two, but I am going to give Matt Patricia his first win of the season this week against the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I just feel like the Packers are low-key a powerhouse in the NFC, and I don't see them losing to this team, man. I'm not going to pick against Aaron Rodgers until he proves me wrong because he looks like he's going to try to go undefeated.
Yeah, the last two games they played against each other, Kenny Golladay, 193 receiving yards. Who replaces that if he doesn't play? That's a big question mark. I'm taking a risk here. I'm going to take Detroit regardless. But that's, you know, Kenny Golladay is hard to replace.
Facts.
You ready for the next game?
Yep.
All right. So the next game is another division about. It is Tennessee and Jacksonville. What's the line?
So right now we got it at 42.5. And the spread, they got the Titans by 8.5.
Okay, so division rivalry. So the last 10 games, the Titans are 7-3. The last six games, the Titans are 5-1. And last year they split the series, but I think that – and I made sure to note this. The time that the Tennessee Titans lost to the Jaguars last year, Marcus Mariota was at quarterback.
Oh, so it was in the beginning of the year.
So this is a different Titans team they were playing. So they could easily be 6-0 the last six games against them.
I know is Derrick Henry.
You can mention him every time we mention the Titans.
Every time he plays Jacksonville. It's like he's puts up a new record for rushing yards.
Yeah, I feel like he's like that with everybody.
Let's see what highlight reel he can come out with this week. Yeah. I'm expecting a big game from Derrick Henry. I can see him getting two touchdowns, 100 yards. They made some good plays, and the Colts, more than anything, disappointed on defense. Their defense looked lost for a lot of that game.
Yeah.
And Phillip Rivers threw the ball too much, man. They gave him too many opportunities to come back. I don't think the Titans make that mistake. You feed Derrick Henry, and you just watch him eat.
Yeah, a few players on Tennessee that are to note for the matchup against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tannehill had two touchdowns against them last year in the only game he started. Henry, 159 yards and two touchdowns.
99-yard touchdown run when he stiff-armed the whole
Brown.
Team.
Done that's right. A.J. Brown, 135 yards and a touchdown. I believe he had a four catches or something like that on like six targets. So those are some interesting numbers because I feel like that's a more recent version of the Tennessee Titans. So something to take a look at. Oh, Corey Davis. Hey, Corey Davis alert.
Shout out Corey Davis. He definitely impressed me week one. Maybe that was some of these game plans cater to some of these players. Cause again, AJ Brown isn't going to do that every single week. I look to see A.J. Brown bouncing back and maybe putting up better numbers, man.
Yeah. On the Jacksonville side, Gardner Minshew, you get no love, man. You get no love. You're a stud. You're efficient. I know you're safe. But with Jay Gruden, it looks like you have a grasp of that offense. And he has some weapons around him. I mean, we forgot about Keelan Cole, right? They were comparing him to Antonio Brown at one point, no?
Jeez.
It feels like that was a long time ago, right? I just like Gardner Minshew. I really do. I don't know if I like him enough to pick him against the Tennessee Titans, but it's a division game. He always seems to surprise when you think that the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be in a laugher. They go and do what they did last week where they make it a game. Anybody else that you're looking at? Another thing that I wanted to note, and I wrote it here before we pick, Fournette had 33 touches in their last matchup. Who's going to replace those 33 touches on Jacksonville?
I'm not sure.
right?
James Robinson looked decent when he was running.
Yeah. So,
we'll see if they can continue to feed him. Chris Thompson was non-existent for all the hype that he was getting with being Gruden's guy. I don't know, man. The Jaguars aren't going to fool me after week one. If they can come out and win this week, then I'll be like, okay, I'll start paying attention. But, nah. This isn't the Colts who are going to give you a chance to come back. The Titans are trying to go to the Super Bowl, and these are the games that they have to take care of, these division games.
Yeah. If you're a playoff team, this is the team you win. Do not sleep on the Jaguars. If I'm the Titans, do not sleep on the Jaguars.
Of course.
Minshew is feisty, man. I know they're like all – I know they're all tank for Lawrence, but he's not trying to hear that, man.
Yeah.
So you ready to move on?
Yeah. Well, we're taking both Tennessee on this one.
Yeah. I don't even think that needs to be said.
Yeah.
But yeah, Tennessee for sure. The next one is Tampa Bay and Carolina. What's the line?
So right now we got it at 47.5, and then they got the Bucs favored by 9.5. Wow, that's a lot of points. I told you. What did I tell you last week about Carolina? Their defense is trash. And the only reason they're going to be in these games is because they got the best player in football.
Mm-hmm.
He's always going to give them a chance no matter what. I just feel like he can't carry this team. He can't will them to wins. He's not a quarterback. He doesn't have the ball in his hands enough. He does have it a lot, but not enough to impact the game. The Raiders looked better, man. And they – Josh Jacobs ate these Panthers up. I'm looking to see what Ronald Jones could do against the Panthers. If he comes out and gets over 100 yards,
mm-hmm.
Ronald Jones impressed me week one against one of the better run defenses in the NFL in the Saints. That's who I got my eyes on.
Okay. Division game. So Carolina is 8-4 in the last 12 matchups they played, 4-2 in the last six, and they split the series last year in 2019. Two different quarterbacks to keep in mind that Cam was in the first matchup. And in the second matchup, they had Kyle Allen. They lost the one with Cam. They won the one with Kyle. Tampa is. Something that I wanted to note is that CMC had, because Tampa's historically been, well, the last few years have been tough on run defense, right?
And they got better.
Yeah, so
better.
CMC, and it's to your point, because we talked about, well, you know, maybe CMC won't have a great game. Well, he has a great game every game, because 31 yards and a touchdown on the ground, 26 yards and a touchdown in the air. So that's probably his floor performance-wise.
Yeah, he's gonna score. Look, even last week when the Bucs played the Saints, Kamara wasn't that good statistically. He just had two touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
You look at his numbers, I think he had a little bit more receiving yards than, but he only had like 22 rushing yards on a couple of carries. Like, if he doesn't fall into the end zone two times, that's a whole different game for him. I think the Bucs came out and there's a lot of new pieces. They had the gel. I give them a little bit more time.
Yeah.
I wouldn't give up on the Bucs yet. And they're going to come out and show why. I think Tom Brady, after a loss, is the worst person you want to play in the NFL.
Yeah.
After being embarrassed and people making it a joke, especially with the Patriots winning, he might put up 40 on this team.
Okay. So, to your point, on Tampa Bay side, what I'm looking at the fact that Jameis Winston had 400 yards passing against them last year. But guess what? He had 5 interceptions against them. So, Brady could probably meet him halfway, no interceptions, and give me, what, 300 yards?
Even one is not going to be the end of the world. Look, man, I don't see how the Panthers could win this game. I'm not sold on Teddy Bridgewater. It took a 70-yard lucky pass for them to actually even be close to the Raiders. It should have been a bigger win for the Raiders. I'm not impressed by the Panthers at all. Rule, not ruling yet.
Yeah, okay.
I'm taking the Buccaneers here.
I'm taking the Bucs also. I will say that a player to keep an eye on is Chris Godwin, and not for a good reason. Chris Godwin, concussion protocol. So what happens with his 12 targets? Because Mike Evans got 17 targets last year in their matchup. Godwin had 12 targets, 10 catches, 151 yards. So Scotty Miller is a name to watch. Yeah. So, but we both have Tampa in this one.
Yep. Let's jump into this next one.
The next one is the San Francisco 49ers going up against the New Jersey Jets.
And we're going to keep this. We're going to keep this short. We got the Niners favorite by 7 and the over-under is 42.5. So it's fairly low. And I'm surprised they're not favored by more. I guess they're saying the Niners lost last week. Maybe it's a different type of Niners team. I don't know, man. The defense alone can win this game for them. Yeah. I'm not looking forward to anybody on the Jets. I'm going to be honest. I don't care. I'm not even watching that offense. And on the Niners, let's see if Kittle plays. Feels like he's always hurt, in my opinion, but he just battles through all these injuries. And let's see what Raheem Mostert could do, man. He kind of came out with a big splash last week. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for him.
Yeah. You nailed it. The Sam Darnold, is it a regression or is it the fact that he's had to face the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets back-to-back? Something to think about because this is his third year also, and not everyone's going to progress as quickly as you'd want to. Ryan Tannehill could tell you that. So that's something that I keep thinking in my head. Is he as bad as he looks or is it just, you know, dumb luck with the scheduling? Yeah. Yeah. DeGore, Adams, Balaj backfield, a vaunted backfield, the running back by committee. Are you going to pick anyone up from the Jets? No, you already told me.
I wasn't taking Le'Veon Bell.
On the San Francisco side, Jimmy G, man, you got to clean it up. You got to clean it up, man. I know that on the surface, it looks like you had 103 quarterback rating, 259 passing yards. I just feel like 3 sacks. He made some terrible throws decision wise, and I feel like he had a chance to really win it for his team, and he didn't. The last thing on this is the RBBC magic San Francisco has going over there. Jerick McKinnon coming out of nowhere, scoring a touchdown.
Yeah, and I think I was telling you not to cut you off real quick, but that was more because Tevin Coleman had those breathing issues, and
yeah,
I don't see that split being the same going forward as the season progresses.
No, I just feel like whoever gets a touch is going to be a quality touch. Yeah, so yeah, Mostert is going to lead it, but you know it's great to see McKinnon have that burst and that he can play that role even if Tevin Coleman can't. I like Tevin Coleman the least in this backfield right now.
Yeah, yeah.
We both have San Fran to win this game, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's go to the next one. The next one is the Washington football team going up against Arizona. What's the line?
So right now they got the Cardinals favored by 6.5 and over under 47.5, which that's a lot of points. It's a lot of points for these two teams. And 6.5 is a lot of points to give to Arizona, man, I'm telling you. And not because I'm a Washington fan. Mm-hmm. I just don't know how you can give the Cardinals 6.5 points, especially after – last week,
Washington looked last week.
Yeah, Washington impressed me, man. And again, they did play a high school offensive line in Philly, resulting in 8 sacks. Mm-hmm. Kyler Murray is going to be running for his life. These linemen are wild. They are wild. I'm curious to see what the defense does. Let's see if it's hype or not.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Arizona. Before I tell you about the players, I'll tell you why. Arizona, the way they looked in week one, it's finally like – it looks like Kyler Murray looked like a kid with, like, a toy in Christmas morning. Like, all he wanted to do was play with that one favorite toy. Like, you see how many targets Hopkins got last week? What, 16 targets, 14 catches? I know that that's probably the ceiling for the year, right? But it's good to see that he's going to pepper him with some targets. That's something that – a wrinkle on the wide receiver side that Washington maybe didn't have to contend with last week. In terms of the offensive line, what I expect is, you know, Kyler had 91 yards rushing last week, and it didn't even look like he had that many yards rushing. So what I expect is maybe having Kyler move around a little bit more, try to keep that
pursuit.
He's
going to have to move. He's going to have
to
move.
No, without a doubt.
It's not going to be part of the game plan. He's going to be running.
Yeah, but either way, he's gonna have they're gonna have it in the game plan too.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Because that's how you beat a pass rush. You get them to over pursue, and you beat them with either draw plays, which might not work against Washington. But you know they have some weapons there, and I feel like Kyler looked like a killer last week. Let's see if he can keep it up. That's why I'm picking Arizona. It's more so the way they looked last week was super impressive, and they were just remember last year they were losing those close games. I feel like this is the year they win those.
Yeah,
they're gonna put them away.
Yeah, for me, I'm taking Washington. I underestimated how much a coach matters, and this is why I hate the Cowboys coach, because he just makes bad decisions. I think Ron Rivera going for it on fourth downs, being aggressive on defense, I underestimated them, and I'm a fan of the team.
Yeah.
This week is going to be a big challenge, a big tell to see what this Washington team is really going to be about. At the end of the day, the Cardinals have a way better offense, but they say defense wins championships, so we'll see.
Yeah, I just –
nobody can tell me the Cardinals have a better defense than the Washington right now, so –
No, they have a better secondary.
Yeah, oh no, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'll give them that. But the rest of it, it's and it's better by a lot. Washington's is better by a lot. You know what I mean? But a few things I wanted to mention. Haskins, you would love to get a little more production out of the quarterback position. I know that the name of the game is you win with defense and you don't turn the ball over.
Yeah.
But you'd hope that he does better than 54% completion percentage and 178 yards passing. He still looked like a deer in headlights out there. So you hope that as the season goes and as the defense is kicking up, that he gains a little bit more confidence. The RBCC in Washington is not going to go away. Barber with 17 carries.
For 22 yards.
That's insane. The two touchdowns, by the way. Scary Terry is this is breakout. 7 targets last week, 5 catches. And Logan Thomas, everyone's sleeping on Logan Thomas right now, I'm telling you.
He looked like our Haskins' favorite target.
Yeah. I picked Arizona. You know, I was close to picking Washington, and it's not because, you know, my best friend here likes the Washington football team, but that the way that front seven looked, it was scary. It's special. Is what I would call it.
Yeah, I, like I said earlier, I'm taking Washington. I think the what I didn't expect in the Philly game is what I'm going to expect this game. The defensive line making that much of a difference that it's going to affect the quarterback and forcing turnovers. Yeah, Kyler Murray is an amazing quarterback. We said the same thing about Carson Wentz, but they made Carson Wentz look crazy.
Yeah, true. But Kyler is slippery, more slippery.
Yeah. But, I mean –
So that helps when it comes to, like, you know, shaving some stacks off. But I wouldn't argue with someone going, because I really do like that defense. And it's intriguing, right? Both of these teams are trying to make a statement.
Yeah, exactly. 2-1-0 teams. This is a big game for both teams.
Fun. The next game is KC against the Chargers. Another division game at 4 o'clock. What's the line?
So they got the Chiefs favored by 8.5, and the over-under is 47.5. I don't know how it's not by more. They should be favored by at least like 10 points here. But again, a division game, they're going to keep it a little bit more close.
I'll tell you why.
And the Chargers coming off a win. And obviously the Chargers from recent history, from not even looking at numbers, I know they always had the Chiefs number. I think they beat them, if not last year, the year before. I remember a game going into overtime and the Chargers winning.
Oh, I remember that one. Yeah. The Mike Williams game.
Yeah.
I remember
but
that.
Look, but I don't know, man. I don't. A Tyrod Taylor, Patrick Mahomes, that says enough for me.
Yeah. I'll let you know. This is a division game, right? So the last 12 games, Kansas City is 11-1 against the Chargers. The last 6 games, 5-1, and 2019, 2-0. The one thing I will say about Patty Mahomes is in both games, Patty Mahomes had 174 yards, a touchdown and an interception, 182 yards, a touchdown and an interception. So if you're expecting big fantasy numbers from Patty, maybe you don't get it here.
Yeah. You look to not have those big expectations, but why? We ask ourselves, why are those numbers being put up?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the pass rush. You got Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. The same reason that I'm thinking with Kyler Murray,
mm-hmm.
Patrick Mahomes doesn't have the same escapability, but
mm-hmm.
he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and even they make him look average.
Yeah. The difference here is that this is a division game, so it's like they face each other twice a year. Yeah,
absolutely.
So the game plan aspect. One thing I wanted to highlight here is who is going to take Damian Williams' touches, because Damian Williams was a workhorse in these matchups.
Mm.
Is it CEH, and will he handle the goal line work?
for his health's sake, I hope not. I've been saying all week since I saw CEH play, look, CEH is an amazing talent. Outside the 20s, do not, I repeat, do not give him the ball inside the 20-yard line if you want him to last this whole season, Casey. Please preserve him because y'all going to need him for another Super Bowl run. Let Darrell Williams run the ball more. He's a bigger dude. He can take the hits more. You have to ease him in. For me, these carries, the split should be about 15 CEH, 10 to 12 for Darrell Williams. CEH shouldn't be getting 23 carries. Mm-hmm. I think, like you said, Andy Reid got excited. He had a new toy. He wanted to just showcase it. And he was going over the top, and he's going to break that toy.
Yeah. One thing on the Chargers side is no Phillip Rivers last year. Phillip threw two interceptions in their last matchup. But Eckler, you know, Eckler's, you like what you saw last week getting the touches and the carries. I think 19 total touches.
Yeah.
So that's really good. You see Eckler with 18 touches in last year's matchups and 11 targets. And so you do see the volume. I really do like Eckler for this matchup. Especially with Tyrod, although Tyrod is not as much of a checkdown person as people think.
Yeah.
Offense is probably built to check it down. So maybe that's why Eckler's going to get work. Keenan Allen, how much work are you going to get? You know, I just feel like that whole passing game just gets downgraded with Tyrod, man. So I can't really go even by last year's matchups.
Yeah, Tyrod will have a decent game solely for the fact that they'll probably be behind the whole game. I know their coach likes to run the ball. I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball as much because you can't do that against KC. This isn't the Cincinnati Bengals.
That's what I'm saying.
It'll be 21 to nothing in a blink, and you can't run the ball.
I mean, they should have lost to the Bengals, but, you know, the fact that he puts up 16 points, okay, maybe it's week one, but, you know, let's see what you can do here. In this matchup, there's no surprise. We both picked the Chiefs, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so I don't think there's anything else that needs to be said about that one. Let's go on to the next matchup, and this is the Baltimore Ravens against the Houston Texans. What's the line?
So right now they got the Ravens favored by 7 and getting a total of 52 points. A lot. Again, I feel like every team the Texans play is going to be a high-scoring game, and I just feel like they're disrespecting the Ravens. How are they only favored by 7 points? Not a division game. This could easily be like 9.5.
Yeah, I agree with you, especially if they were to just take a look at last year, what happened? You saw what happened last year?
What was that?
So the Baltimore Ravens beat the Houston Texans 41-9 last year. Lamar Jackson had 17 completions, 222 yards, and 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, I remember that game now. That Deshaun Watson was locked down.
Yeah, so Deshaun actually, I think, scored one touch. No, the touchdown was Carlos Hyde in garbage.
Yeah.
Lamar had a 139.2 quarterback rating. Gus the Bus, 8 carries, 112 yards and a touchdown. Is that you, JK?
So maybe this is another Cleveland Browns game where they have a big enough lead where they want to – I don't know, man. I still need to see more from JK to really.
Everybody got touches on this in this running back rotation last year. I think Justice Hill even had five touches last year.
Yeah. I mean, the Chiefs ran all over the Texans, so maybe that's the formula.
Oh, that is the formula. Another thing, Mark Andrews, super efficient. 4 targets, 4 catches, 75 yards, and a touchdown. I know this was last year, but remember week one, he looked pretty good, no?
Hashtag stud.
Houston, what do I have to say about you, man? Your offense didn't look good last week. You lost DeAndre Hopkins. You got David Johnson.
That's the only bright spot.
Yeah, and
Deshaun Watson didn't impress me.
Yeah, David Johnson's gonna have a good game here. If only because I feel like Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson combined for 105 yards and a touchdown last year. David Johnson, the way he looked last week, he'll get that easy. Is it going to be enough to keep up with the Ravens? That's the question. Who's going to replace D-Hop's 12 targets and 7 catches in the matchup? Is it going to be Kenny Stills? Is it going to be Brandon Cooks? Are you healthy, actually? Is it going to be Will Fuller? Is he built that way, right? So there's too many questions on the Houston side. I have to go with Baltimore to keep it rolling.
Yeah, me too. I think Deshaun Watson's going to have a super huge game to be able to be close to beating this team. Not even just beating them, just close to beating them. So now I see that happening. He looked too erratic for me week one against the Chiefs' average defense at best. I'm taking the Ravens, and I'm not even looking back.
All right. All right, so next matchup, it's New England, the Patriots, going to Seattle to Sunday face Russ, to face Danger Russ. In Sunday night football, what's the line?
So right now they got it at 44.5 over under, and the Seahawks favored by 4. I know you love to see that. Hey, this might be the first time in I didn't get to look it up, but this might be the first time in a long time that the Patriots haven't been favored. Mm. I would like to look back and see when was the last time the Patriots weren't favored.
a few things that I wanted to note on the New England side. Cam Newton had 15 completions for 155 yards. Mm. The New England team had 42 rushing attempts.
Jeez.
42. 217 yards rushing.
So here it is. Last time the Patriots were underdogs, 2014, week 11, when they were 3-point underdogs to the Colts, and they beat them 42-20.
Wow. 15 carries for Cam, 10 for Sony, 7 for Rex. Rex Burkhead surprises you. I think James White was banged up. And N'Keal Harry, you had a terrible week last week. Are you the wide receiver one there, man? You have to. Are you going to force them to make a trade? Because 6 targets, a fumble, didn't have a good game last week. Seattle, did they finally unlock Russell Wilson?
Let Russ eat.
Let Russ eat.
Let Russ cook.
Hashtag let Russ cook. Yeah. Russell Wilson, 88% completion percentage, 31 completions, 322 passing yards, 4 touchdowns. He looked amazing. The only thing that alarms you is did they go too much to the 2-minute drill where they only had 21 rushing attempts. You don't like that.
And also take into account they did play the Atlanta Falcons. So don't expect that every single week from Russ. The Patriots will definitely bring that down. I just want to see – I think they're going to try to make Cam beat them with his arm. Mm-hmm. Might try to force him to throw the ball more and really spy him with one of their faster linebackers. I don't know, man. Cam looked good week one. I can't even hate it. Let's just see what he does this week. It's going to be Sunday night football, so you know he's going to have a show trying to put on to prove a lot of these naysayers.
The Patriots secondary versus these wide receivers or this receiving core, because you have Olsen too. Olsen looks like he's already.
That's the biggest matchup. That's the biggest matchup of the game. Yeah. Because the Patriots still do have a good secondary.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. It's
as long
not
as
many
back there.
Not many that are better than them. But Lockett, DK, you know, you like Carson. What they did last week. You like how that looks.
Yeah, Carson looked like a very good receiver out the back.
Yeah, man. You love that, right? As a Carson owner, anyone who has Carson, you love seeing that. He actually got some work with catches.
Yeah, we love to see Derrick Henry do that, Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee, man. That looked really good. Big boy could catch, man. Give it to him.
Yeah.
But in this matchup, who did you pick? I picked
in Seattle.
Let me see. We both
took Seattle
on this one, yeah. And the last matchup is the Monday night showdown. The first game in the black hole, the new black hole is actually the
Allegiant Stadium.
Allegiant Stadium, in Las Vegas. Yeah, it's in Las Vegas against the New Orleans Saints. What's the line here?
So they got the Saints favored by 5.5 with a over under 49.5. I'm surprised that's only 5.5. I'm going to be honest. They're putting a little bit of respect on the Raiders. Them being home, I guess that's helping a little bit. And
I think Michael Thomas not being there is a big
yes, thing. Yeah, that too. I forgot Michael Thomas is hurt.
Yeah, that's the big news here for this matchup.
Yeah,
Michael Thomas is a big blow for. That's but the good thing is you have Drew Brees who loves spreading it around anyway. You mentioned before that the player that stands to benefit the most from this is a player like a Jared Cook who already has a lot of chemistry. Maybe Alvin Kamara. Is it Emmanuel Sanders or is it Tre'Quan Smith? That remains to be seen, although Traquan Breeze was just singing his praises just a few weeks ago. So put your money where your mouth is. Give it
to him. I wouldn't be shocked if their coach, who is some guy
you hate him.
He put Taysom Hill as a wide receiver out there, and I wouldn't be shocked.
Wow. Imagine that.
Wide receiver two, Taysom Hill. You heard it here first.
Yeah. What a surprising thing about the New Orleans Saints here is how much Latavius is actually involved. If I were to tell you before the season started that I'm taking Latavius Murray in the seventh round, for instance, eighth round, and Latavius is getting 15 touches a week, would you take it?
Yeah.
He got 15 carries last week.
How many do you have? How many Kamara had?
12.
Yeah.
16 yards for Kamara. So as a runner, Latavius had the better day.
Yeah. And again, they did have a lead early on in that game. So that definitely helped. But maybe that's a new formula for the Saints. They're trying to play defense, preserve Drew Brees. He did get hurt last year.
Mm-hmm.
They have a stout defense. For me, I'm excited to see what Josh Jacobs could do after having a huge week one against a horrible defense, which was expected. Now he gets challenged by one of the better run defenses in the NFL. If he can show up against this team, then I don't care who they're playing. Josh Jacobs is going to be killing the NFL this year.
Yeah.
It's a good test right off the bat.
On the Las Vegas side, I want to say that remember I mentioned that the offense goes through Waller and Jacobs? So Waller in the passing game had 8 targets, 6 catches. He led the team.
How many yards?
I didn't note that. I note the volume of work that people get, right? So the passing game didn't do much to begin with, right? But it's good to see that they're still going through Waller, and that they actually gave Ruggs 5 targets.
Yeah.
I don't know if he got banged up and that played a part in him not getting any more. 29 touches for Josh Jacobs. 25 carries and four catches, 93 yards rushing and 46 yards receiving. You love to see that. I mean, especially if you're a Josh Jacobs owner. But, you know, they mentioned it all offseason that he was going to get some work in the passing game, and they really did put their money where their mouth is. So you like to see that.
Yeah. See, yeah, he did have 6 catches for 45 yards. So I'm trying to tell people, I like Waller as a player. I love him even more as a person. But you saw Winton out here catching these passes.
He had 1 catch for 2 yards.
but he's still out there taking up.
Yeah, 1 catch. I think he had 1 target.
All I'm going to say is Waller didn't impress me week one. I don't care.
No, I mean, dude, and it's like we mentioned.
And they didn't have to impress.
Yeah.
They were playing the Carolina.
I don't think they really needed him. We both have New Orleans.
We'll see. I hope, man. I'm a fan of Darren Waller. So
We're not gonna get cute here. We're gonna go with New Orleans. Although I would have, you know, I almost gave Las Vegas their first win in their new stadium. I just think Drew Brees is a troll. Sean Payton they're trolls, and they want to ruin your day. So they're gonna go in there to win. We like the Saints.
Yep.
And we're done. Just like that, we have one little last piece we want to leave everyone with, and that is our weekly stud, dud, or bust, and under the radar players. So, Rye, you want to go first? Or
yeah, so my stud of the week, based on matchup, and I think the opportunities he's going to have this week, is Amari Cooper versus the Atlanta Falcons. I think he has a prime opportunity here to just go over the top. You know how Cooper always has those games where he has like 150-plus, the 2 touchdowns? If he can't do it against Atlanta, he's not going to be doing it a lot this year. So I'm putting my money where my mouth is, and I'm picking at him as my stud.
Mm. My stud is Mr. Joe Mixon. And to both of the matchups that he played against the Browns last year, he had over 100 yards rushing. He is a force to be reckoned with. I totally feel like they're going to make the rookie hand it off a little bit more on prime time, just to maybe not overexpose him. Although he can handle it, but I see Joe Mixon breaking out. I like Joe Mixon as my stud.
No Cincy.
No, I need Cleveland's defense to rock, but
I'll lead the bust category off. And maybe I'm a little salty because of week one, but I'm gonna go with Carson Wentz against the LA Rams, man. It's going to be the same old story. They showed me a lot week one. They're just too dang hurt. Yeah. Maybe Miles Sanders helps a little bit and eases it, but I don't think anybody could run against this team. Yeah, Zeke had a great game, but a lot of his stuff was up from the passing game. And it's Zeke, Ezekiel Elliott. So yeah. Miles Sanders isn't Zeke.
And Wentz is a warrior, man. He shows you that. It's just he just has too many, and you don't like sometimes to use the injuries as an excuse.
Too many blows, and it don't matter how much of a warrior you are.
After a while, man, but so many injuries you can come back from. And you're watching that game, and it was bodies falling left and right from Philly.
Every
and
time I looked up, there was somebody walking into the tunnel. So
offensive lineman at that, which is like they're already down to their second string. So I don't blame you for putting them in your
butt. Yeah, and for me, it's a little him not having as many weapons and his supporting cast. He has no support. So it's less on Wentz and it's more on his support and who he's playing.
My bust is going to be Mark Ingram. Last year when he played Houston, he struggled. I think he had 13 carries for like 40 yards or something like that, maybe less. He's in some pecking order. So is he the quasi starter? That's as true a committee as it's going to get. And it was surprising to see Dobbins there in the goal line or getting goal line work. Again, based on the fact that game was a blowout, this game could easily be like that. Because if anything, one can make the argument that Houston's gotten worse. So I could see the same game script. Maybe Lamar breaks some. Andrews gets in on the scoring. Maybe one of the wide receivers. And I could see our boy Gus the Bus. And J.K. Dobbins, I can see them maybe sniping some touchdowns too, getting involved. But I think that he's going to be a bust, Mark Ingram. Nice.
Cool. We'll finish here with our under-the-radar picks. For me, it's very simple. I think with Michael Thomas going down, we spoke about it earlier in the matchup, I just see Jared Cook getting a lot more targets, getting a lot more red zone opportunities than Michael Thomas would always see.
Yeah.
He's one of Drew Brees' favorite targets, always him hitting him down the field. I could see him – I wouldn't be surprised if he catches like a touchdown or two over 50 yards easily. I'm going Jared Cook as my under the radar.
I love that one. Mine is our boy, underrated, nobody likes you, Gardner Minshew. What did you do last week? Well, you only went out and played the game better than anyone gave you credit. You only had one incompletion. You were spraying the ball around. You had a few, you had some rushing yards in there. You got the mustache. No more Leonard Fournette. You got DJ Chark. You hit him in the end zone for a touchdown. Every game you play, it feels like you're in it. Gardner Minshew, you're under the radar.
Nice. Cool. Any finishing words before we get off here?
No, I mean, you're welcome, everyone, for watching this. No, I'm kidding. this is always fun. Please join us for week two. As always, if you agree or disagree, down on the bottom, there is a section called the comment section. Feel free to drop any feedback you have. It could be anything. Maybe be respectful. Drop a like if you like this. If you're still here, we appreciate you. Right, Rye?
Yeah, and if you're listening, make sure you subscribe. And if you're watching, subscribe, turn on the bell notifications. We do drop these episodes every Thursday before the Thursday game. So we're looking forward to week two. It starts tomorrow because we do record these Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited. I'm looking to see what Cincy could do. Joe Burrow in a primetime spot. I can't wait for the game.
Yeah. And Dusty, you know, if you lost this week in fantasy, I know it sucks when you wake up on Monday or Tuesday and, you know, all is lost because your team lost. This is a new week. Yeah. it's promising. You're going to turn it around this week. All right. And if not, you know, just hit us up. Anything else, Rye?
Nope. That's it, man.
All right. Peace, everybody.
Peace out.